All right, let's open our Bible, please, the book of Acts, chapter number 13. I sure have enjoyed the evening. Brother Sutton, I would have gladly listened to you tonight, and it wouldn't matter if I didn't preach afterward. But I want you to really pray, in spite of all that's going on, and not, I shouldn't say it that way, because since all that's going on is going on, I still feel a drive that I need to preach where I'm headed tonight. I want to hook up where I left off last night and go a little farther with it. And I want you to really pray the Lord to bless us and help us, and God's will be done. I want to make a statement now, and we've had our good time, and we're still going to have a good time. Don't die when I say this. But you know, we can form a lot of religious habits. And we do things over and over, and it gets to the place it becomes a tradition, and then it gets to the place it almost becomes a doctrine to us. You remember in the book of Revelation, they talked about the deeds of the Nicolaitans in one church. A couple of churches later, those deeds were recognized as doctrines. Amen. And I preached last night on a God that does not change. He's not changed. I said last night, He's not changed about the condition. The command of the Scripture is not changed about the condition of sinners. It is not changed about the channel to salvation. And I want to preach tonight on the subject, God has not changed His mind. He's not changed His word. He's not changed His heart about His missions program. Amen. I do believe with all of my heart there's a need in our churches tonight for us to get a biblical understanding of what the Word of God teaches about missions. Now you can say about me whatever you want to, but I am interested in what the Bible says. Come on, I'm not so interested in the way we've always done it. I'm not interested in the way that Mamma and Papa did it. I am interested in the sense I'm not being disrespectful. But when it comes down to doing God's business, if we learn God's way, God's principle, and do it God's way, then God will honor us in our efforts. And may I say this? God is not obligated to honor my opinions, my thoughts, my ideas, or my own ways and wishes. But God will honor that word. And He'll honor us when we honor the word of God. And I felt all week like God would bring us to this place tonight. And I'm just going to do my best to be obedient. And we'll have a good time in the service of the Lord this evening. Let's stand together, if you would, please. Our Bible open in the book of Acts, chapter number 13. And I will read the first three or four verses. Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 1. The Bible said, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, by the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for tonight from God's precious Word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before You to pray. Lord, I do want to say thank You for the joy of salvation. Thank You, our Father, for the privilege it's ours, Lord, to be born in this land of churches and Bibles and Christians. And, Lord, though we came from many backgrounds, Lord, You saved us and You put us in the different works of God. And what a joy it is to know You and serve You. Thank You, our Father, tonight for this shower of blessings. Lord, almost a hurricane blew through here tonight. Father, I want to thank You and praise You and bless You for it. Dear Lord, You know my heart this evening. If You're not through with that part, I sure don't want to interfere with what You're doing. But I pray, Lord, tonight that You'll give me liberty, give me leadership. May the power and presence of God be real. And may each of us be like young Samuel. May we sit back tonight and say, speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth Thee. Lord, You have fed us, Thou instruct us. We'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this evening, for the message for tonight from the Word of God. I want you to really pray, give your attention, and let God speak to us from the Word of God this evening. Brother Hall, I know your church has been well instructed in biblical missions. I know that. I am not up here thinking that you've not taught them what the Bible teaches about missions. But I want to just reaffirm what I know he's preached, that the Bible has said, that I want God to speak to all of us preachers that are here tonight, and then I want God to preach to the missionaries that are here tonight in the service. And I want you to really pray that God will give instructions from the Word of God this evening. You know, I like preaching with contact, but I believe preaching ought to have content. Amen. I like preaching that has inspiration, but I think preaching ought to have some information. Amen. Our living will never exceed our learning. Our behavior is affected by our belief. And our belief, of course, is affected by what we understand about the Word of God. Now, I want to just be very practical and right down to the point and get through as soon as the Lord will let me tonight. I want to deal at least five areas in the service tonight from the Word of God. I thought this afternoon, and it's been over mine all week, as we sit here. And can I say this from my heart, Brother Hall, I haven't seen everything you say, but we've had a wonderful, wonderful fellowship among missionaries as far as I know this week. Haven't heard anybody shoot at each other. Nobody strike at each other. Nobody smack at somebody else's work. And all that has been a good week of fellowship. But I thought about there may be somebody sitting here tonight that's thinking, how in the world do you become a missionary? How do you become a missionary? I preach to these young folk up in the mountains, and who'd ever dream God would have called you all out of them ridges? Amen. Who'd ever dream God had called us out? I preach for you as a pastor. Who'd ever dream God had put you toward the mission field? Most of you tonight, if you'd be honest, could say that. You're going to the mission field. Whoever dreamed God had called you to mission field? How do you become a missionary? I want to deal with these four things tonight. First of all, I want to talk to you about being the personnel of missions. How does one become a missionary? How do you get to be a missionary? I want to say, first of all, that missionaries are not just people who made a decision that I'm going to be a missionary. If you did, get out. Get your job. Make an honest living. I want to say to you tonight, first of all, that God calls missionaries. I believe there's a call, and let me correct it. I know there's a call to preach, but I know also there's a call to the work of missions. There's a call to the work of evangelism. There's a call to pastor. There are calls in the work of God to whatever God wants us to do. I do not believe you just get up one morning with a decision, I'm going to be a preacher. Likewise, I do not believe you get up one morning and decide, I'm going to be a missionary. God calls missionaries. Number one, I want to make it very specific. God calls them out of the church. A man that's not a church man in America would not be a church man in Africa. Amen. God does not reach outside the church and call laborers. He reaches outside the church and calls lost. But he reaches in the church and calls them. God calls them out of the church. Amen. Amen. But number two, may I say, God calls them to a country or a culture. There are some people who can name a country. God called me to India. God called me to Russia. God called me to the Philippines. There are others that God calls to cultures. Maybe somebody might say, well, God called me as a missionary to the Jews. Or God called me as a missionary to the prisoners. Or God called me as a missionary to another group of people. But I want to say this. There are no general callings. When God calls somebody, He calls them out of the church and He calls them to a calling. That calling may be a country. It may be a culture. I remember years ago, Me and Brother Bob Darty were at Stone Mountain in a meeting down there. And we spent until 4 o'clock the next morning, one night after service, talking to a man who was just sold on the idea, God called me and left it up to me what I'm to do. At 4 o'clock the next morning when I went to bed, he hadn't convinced me. He's still not convinced me. I'm telling you, God makes a call that is specific. That I want to say this. There is a difference in a calling and a burden. A call ought to constitute a burden, but a burden does not constitute a call. Did not our pastor say one night this week, every missionary comes up here, I want to go with him. All you've got to do is look around and see people going to hell. That ought to give you a burden for them. I want to say something else. A need doesn't constitute a call. There are needs everywhere. But a need does not constitute a call. When I say that, I'm not saying God will call you without you seeing the need. But just seeing the need does not mean God calls you to be the missionary and go to that place. God calls him out of a church to a calling, a country, a culture. Number two, write this down. Not only God calls him, but the church sends him. Now, I'm real dogmatic of what I'm fixing to say. I don't want to have anything to do with any missionary who is not commissioned out of his local church. If your church don't support you, you ought not ask others to. Come on. God calls them. The Bible said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein do I call them. And when they, the church, and laid hands on them, and fasted and prayed, they, the church, sent them. God calls them, and the church commissions them. I just think that needs to settle a minute. God calls them, and the church commissions them. Did I say to you these three things? Every missionary ought to be, number one, sent out by a local church. I'm just dogmatic because I believe the Bible's dogmatic. Your pastor and church don't put his approval on what you're doing. Don't expect me to support you. Amen. 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 You said, Brother Blue, that would never happen. I could name names. I could call names tonight where their own pastor wouldn't back them. Come on. They're sent out by the local church. Number two, they are supported by local churches. Now, I don't have any problems. You've got friends. It happens a lot of times. Missionary surrenders, family surrenders go to the field. And Brother Hall, some of the kin folks say, well, we'll support you. I know one man down in South Carolina that had 20 years working for the electrical company down there, and he resigned to go into mission work. He and his wife and children going to the mission field, and that electrical company said to him, how are you going to live? He told him, said, God's going to take care of it through offerings. And that who was ever in charge said, can we help you? That electrical company took him on $200 a month. I don't have no problem with that. But on the other hand, that's not where you look for support. Amen. There might be businesses that might want to support you. But you do not go to businesses looking for support. You look for support first from God through churches. If you look for churches for support, you'll be in trouble. But if you look to God to do it through the church, then you will be taken care of and encouraged as God provides you with what's needed. They're sent out by the local church. They're supported by the local churches. And here's where we get quiet. They are to be submitted, subjected to the authority of their local church. I want to make a statement. I operate out of the Concord Baptist Church as a sent out one from that church in the service of God. I still have a pastor that I look to. I have a church I feel accountable to. And I'm going to go ahead and say this while I'm there, Brother Hall. You know this. But the Harvest Time broadcast is not Stinnett Blue Ministry. It's a ministry of the Concord Baptist Church. The checking account is in Concord Baptist Church. The Secretary of Missions of the Concord Baptist Church can sign the checks and see the checkbook anytime he wants to. I'm telling you, God is a local church man. And God expects everybody to be in subjection to somebody over authority of him so that there be accountability. I want you to hear me tonight. Just because you're a missionary, just because you're an evangelist, even because you're a pastor, does not mean for one moment you're your own boss. God invests authority in the church. That missionary is to be called out of the church. He's to be commissioned by the local church. And we're going to see more on that later on. But I got to move. Number two, there's not only there's the personnel of the church, but then I want to deal heavy on this for a few moments tonight. I want to talk about the program of missions. The personnel of missions, the program of missions. Now, can I just, I'm not putting these fellows on the spot, but I'm going to throw out a question, make it very personal. Brother Hyde, what are you going to Scotland to do? Don't answer. What are you going to Montana to do? What are you going to New Mexico to do? What are you going to England to do? What are you going to New Mexico? Are you just going with an idea? Well, I can go come up with something. I don't want to be mean. But surely you're not so cocky saying, boy, I'll be glad when I get out there, I can do what I want to do. If you do, you wouldn't be the first missionary that went out that way. Is there something that somebody just laid out? Can I say it, Dr. Houston? You know I said it with respect. Did Tabernacle just draw up a line of do's and don'ts for the field? Did Faith Baptist Institute? Did Brother Hall? Did Brother Allen? No. The program for the missionary to follow is given plainly in Acts chapter number 14. There are 10 points. In this context, I want to take just a moment and point out each of them, and then I'll move on to the third category. What are you going to do when you get to Montana? Is that where you're heading? No. Yeah, Montana. What are you going to do when you get to Scotland? What are you going to do when you get there? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Can I ask you a question, missionaries? I'm not trying to embarrass you or look down on you. Do you have a biblical pattern, principle, program to function by? Can I ask you, I'm not being mean, but I need to get this over my heart into your heart. Have you got the idea that I'll just go out there and somehow or another it'll work out? Are you going to say, well, I'm going to go to the field and be led of the Lord? I'm not against being led of the Lord, but I do know God has a principle whereby He leads us. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God is given to manifest the will of God. And I want to say this very politely, but yet very firmly, if it's not scriptural, it's not spiritual. If it's contrary to the Word of God, then it's contrary to God Himself. Look at your Bible, please, chapter number 14. And I want to begin reading at verse number 21. I hope you'll mark these things in your Bible. Here is a God-given program for the missionary on the mission field to do the work that God called missionaries to do. Are you ready? Verse number 21. Underline these words that I tell you to. Verse number 21. The Bible said, when they had preached, underline the word preaching. Now, I'm sorry if you disagree with me, but I still believe the primary purpose of missionaries is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's no reflection on what our brother said about Brother Maney a while ago, doing the work he's doing, not a preacher. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm simply saying a man that God calls to a mission field to do the work of a missionary ought to first and foremost be a preacher. I don't understand it. But I know this Bible teaches that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. And by the way, if preaching works in America, it will work in Africa. I do have enough sense to know that there are different cultures, used to different kind of delivery. And I always marvel how God places the right men where He'll fit in. I remember one time years ago, Brother Dan Fuji told me, he said, Brother Ballou, and he's broken, he's from Japan. Brother Ballou, I want you to come to Japan and preach, but you can't preach in Japan like you do in America. Me and my little cocky attitude said, why? He said, they put us both in a jail. I realize there are differences of cultures. Sometimes, boy, I done struck a bad note right there. Sometimes God calls some missionaries that are rather quiet, reserved. Sometimes they lose it like Dr. Hughes did a while ago over there. You didn't see that. You missed all that. You said, out yourself. Amen. I like it, Doc. Forgive me for... But God uses different vessels. But He always chooses the right vessel for the field that He calls them to. If you're going to hillbillies and rednecks, God probably calls rednecks and hillbillies. Come on. Am I losing you? If you're going to refine cultured person, God's probably going to call somebody with what we'd say some dignity, some refinement. God places them where He wants them and can use them. But I don't care whether you're dignified or whether you've doused your dignity, it still takes preaching. God starts the work of God with preaching. First and foremost on the agenda of missions ought to be preaching. And again, I'm sorry if it bothers you, but if you're leaving, going somewhere and serving the Lord in another country, especially as a missionary, and you're not a preacher, I just have a problem with it. God calls preachers. Amen. It has not changed His mind. In 2011, God calls preachers. Preach! The Bible said when they had preached the gospel to that city. Then look at the next word in verse number 21. The Bible said, and they taught many. Now that I'm fixing to walk in on our problem among our circles. We got a lot of fellows that can preach that can't teach anything. Amen. Amen. That missionary must be able to teach. It was not a misprint when the Gospel of Matthew said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Right. Our Lord taught more than He preached, I believe you'll find if you study the Word of God correctly. See, teaching deals with the intellect. Preaching deals with the will surrendered to do what God teaches you to do in the work of God. Preaching lays a demand on your will. He began to preach. He began to teach. I know where I'm at. I know what I'm saying. I know I don't have a problem with this pastor what I'm saying because I know he believes and agrees what I'm saying. But I'm telling you something. It's one thing to get up here and sack yourself into preaching gear and preach. Well, if you don't like my word psych, it's one thing to get up here and get in preaching here and preach. But it's another thing to slow down and open your Bible up and say, teach chapter number 7. You see, the reason most of us don't like teaching, you have to study to teach. I can preach a topical message by the help of the Lord on about any subject in the Bible. You name it, give me 3 minutes to think on it, and I can probably get up and preach 45 minutes and never open the Bible. You know what happens when we get through? We had a good time. What'd you learn? I don't remember what he said. Preach. Teach. Boy, don't we need a rerun a while ago now. Number three, look at verse number 4, verse number 22. The Bible said, verse number 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. Now look at me. That has nothing to do with the Catholic or the Protestant ritual of confirmation. Nothing whatsoever. You know what it is? You preach the gospel to them, they get under conviction, they get saved, you sit them down and teach them and train them, and you just keep on preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching. And that establishes, that confirms them, that stabilizes them in the work of God. I challenge you, especially if you're a young preacher, I challenge you while you're waiting to get to the place where God's wanting you to serve, you ought to be constantly busy making your notes, studying chapter after chapter, book after book, and have you a reservoir already prepared. When you get out there, you don't have to spend all your time digging up stuff that ought to have been dug up a long time ago. Amen. Preaching, teaching, confirming. Then number four, in verse number 22 again, the fourth thing, he said, exhorting them. And the context continues. Exhorting them to continue in the faith. Amen. Many of your converts on the mission field are going to be converts, not only from sin to salvation, but from the wrong religion to Christianity. And I want you to hear me. Just being saved does not take away everything of those old ties out of that new convert, and they don't just bury it when you baptize them and forget it. I really believe one of the great purposes of the book of Hebrews being written is Paul dealing with those Hebrew Christians who were constantly being pulled back into Judaism. God has to use us, and God must use us to establish them, confirm them, exhort them to continue in the faith. That might help a lot of our new converts here in America. Amen. Amen. Then number five, he said in verse number 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church. Number five is ordaining preachers. I want you to look at me. If you're writing, go ahead and write. Some of you are writing. I don't mind that. But I want to say this. I believe in the plan of God. I believe if God's going to use you to start a church, the same God that's going to use you to start a church, God's going to save somebody if they're not already saved. He's going to call somebody, and He's going to enable you to prepare them to take over that work and pastor that work for the glory of God. I believe it is totally wrong to start a work and walk off and leave it without having an ordained preacher in that congregation to carry on that work for the glory of God. So many churches are started and then left, and they fall away because they didn't follow the Bible principle. I believe from day one, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, basically, missionaries are not pastors. They will have to take the position of a pastor until they get ready to turn over to somebody else to a great degree. But I'm telling you, the thought of a real missionary from the day he starts that church, and especially I'm talking about on a foreign field, is to prepare those people and prepare some young men that God's going to call to take that work and carry it on after he's gone. That ought not be a prayer that started 4 years after you've been there. It ought to be from day one. Who's God going to call? God calls somebody. Lord, let me see them. Help me to train them. Help me to develop them. Help me to prepare them for the job that is there. I know we're not shouting, but this one gets the job done if we learn to do it the Bible way. Preaching, teaching, confirming, exhorting, and then ordaining. And by the way, I want to make this statement. If you have a problem with what I'm fixing to say, that's your problem. Don't bother me with it. But I don't think there are any mistakes in the Word of God. And I did notice in verse number 23, he said, when they had ordained them elders in every church. Somebody said the other night, Brother Mays said God made a cemetery for every possum. I'm convinced God's plan is that there's a man He will save and He'll call to preach, and God wants every church to have their preacher. I know there's a missionary sometimes, Brother Hall, and even here in America it happened. One man may pastor three or four groups a while till they get him started and get the work going. But I'm telling you, the heart's desire is that church ought to have their pastor. That's the heart of God, and that ought to be the heart of the missionary. He said, preaching, teaching, confirming, exhorting, ordaining. And then he said in verse number 23, praying and fasting. When they had prayed and fasted. Now look at me just a moment. I'm going to be honest with you. This is one of the harder ones for me to put an interpretation on than the others are. The rest of them are very much explanatory. I do know what prayer and fasting is. But here I believe could be the underlining thought of what he's dealing with. Don't leave that new pastor-to-be on the sideline when you got to do serious business with God in the prayer closet. Brother Hall, that missionary needs to bring that young preacher right in by the side of him, and they need to pray through things together.
Amen.
They need to fast together. And that way, it's not that young preacher going to say, well, the missionary prayed and God heard him. We prayed. God heard us.
Amen.
On the job training, on the field training, share the burden. Let them know the battle. And you pray with them and fast with them, whatever needs to be done, until you see God move and answer prayer. But not only you see it as a missionary, but that new preacher-to-be, pastor-to-be, will see it. And he has confidence built up in God that God can hear and will hear and answer his prayer if he'll pray like God wants him to pray. Notice the next thing he said, preaching, teaching, confirming, exhorting, ordaining elders, praying and fasting. And then in verse number 23 again, he said, and they commend, and when they had fasted and prayed, then they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Here is the commending them. This is the cutting loose the ties. This is the turning it over.
Amen.
This is the turn. I want to tell you something. I know. And I know I'm getting in trouble saying this, but I know there's a need for American missionaries to maintain a fellowship with their Timothys that start in them churches, and ought to be able to talk to them, ought to be open communication. But I'm telling you, that missionary is not a pope.
That's right.
To reign over those young pastors and native pastors that God calls and puts in them churches. He's not a bishop in the sense of being an overseer of other pastors. But there comes a time when that missionary started that work. People have been saved. God called a preacher. He has trained that preacher. He's ordained that preacher. There comes a time when he has to sever relation and commend it to God. Take his hands off. Turn it over to them and God. After all, we must remember it's not our church, it's the Lord's church. He loves it more than you do, and He loves it more than I do. So we commend them to God. There comes time, Brother Hall, you experience it here as ordaining pastors. When Brother Doug and him starts to leave to go over yonder, you can't go over there and tell Brother Doug what to do, every move that's made. You're going to just have to trust Him to God and trust Him to God. Amen. And by the way, nobody will do it like you think it ought to be done 100%. But remember, they're not your servants and they're not your churches. They belong to God. That don't mean you stop praying. It don't mean you stop caring. But it simply means you realize that the authority, are you ready for me to say this? The authority for the function and operation of that local church on the mission field is to lie within the congregation of that local church. Not a board back home and nobody else anywhere else. Not a pope on the mission field. But it's to be resting. We do believe in the polity, in local church polity. We do believe in local church autonomy. We do believe that God makes every church to be functioning in and of itself. So there are seven things that's to be done on the field in starting that church. And then in verse number 24 through 26, there's three more things that pop up here. I'm just going to put out there and leave alone. In verse number 24, 25 and 26, you find his returning. The Bible said, after that they had passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word to Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God, which they fulfilled. That's returning. They came back to their local church that sent them. Then in verse number 27, the Bible uses the word rehearsed. I like the word reported. You can use either one you want to. We use the word report more in our day. But the Bible said when they were come together and had gathered a church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Now he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. They returned. They reported. In verse number 28, they rested. And can I say it, not indicated in the text, but they rested and got ready to go again. And they abode a long time with the disciples. Now, I've read through that very fast, but I am convinced there is a 10-point outline, right, verse by verse, line after line, on the program of the missionary on the mission field. That's the way God chooses to build churches on the mission field. That's not Ballouism. That's not Ballou's idea. That's a King James Bible principle. And I want to say it again. God's way is right and God's way works. If I had time tonight, I'd talk to you about the problems of missionaries. And there's several of them that arises there. There's culture. There's cults. There's even problems with their own companion. You know, sometimes God has to separate us to multiply us. Because sometimes we get so leaning on a friend till we don't seek God, we seek our friend's advice. That's true in the ministry. I could tell you some crying times I went through, Brother Sutton. I mean, it's literally like God just kicked one of my best friends prop out. None of the men left me with nobody to turn to but God. Amen. And before we get critical of missionaries having problems with each other, let's remember Paul and Barnabas separated. Somebody said they divided. No, they multiplied. But they never multiplied if it hadn't been a division. I'm sorry, but it's in the book. I'm sorry you don't understand. I'm not sorry I'm preaching it. It's in the book. There will be problems with culture. There will be problems with cult. There will be problems with companions. There will be misunderstandings sometimes. Number four, write this down. It's not only the personnel. There's a program. There's a problems. There's the placing of a missionary. Here's a statement I really need to deal with. Come to chapter 16 and verse number 6 through verse number 10. Now, I mentioned a while ago about the brother, and I said I'd mention it again. Here it is. I do not believe God gives calls to missionaries in general. I believe God gives specific calls. And I want to tell you something. It's a great day when we learn that God opens doors. And it's also a great day when we learn God closes some doors. Now, you know the story without me going into a lot of detail. Paul and Barnabas have gone on their first missionary journey. And I don't think anybody here would disagree. What a successful trip they had that first term. And after the split, Paul takes Silas, and his intention was, he comes over through Persia, if I'm saying that right, comes in the region of Galatia, and starts to head up into Asia. And the Holy Ghost said, no. I want to ask you a question. You think Paul had a desire to go to Asia? I know he did. You think there's a need in Asia? I know there was. You think Paul could have been blessed of God and used of God in Asia? Had that been the will of God? I know he could have been. But what we got to learn to do is when God closes a door, it doesn't mean he's through with us. It just means there's a better door waiting on us. In the will of God. Now, having said that, I want to make this statement loud and clear, Brother Hall. I despise to see missionaries that are hopping from one field to the other. One church to the other. One place to the other. Do you hear me? Yeah. Missionaries, you somewhere down the road of life and as a missionary are probably going to run up on a situation you don't understand why. You've got a burden to do it. You want to do it. You look at it as if, you know, man, the need is there. And try every way you want to. God's just going to put up a roadblock and say, Well, Paul had the same problem I had. You know, running wide open is no problem for me. It's waiting that's hard on me. So Paul said, if I can't go to Asia, I know what I'll do. I'll go to Bithynia. And the Holy Ghost said, no. If this happened in today's missions program, pastor would be dropping you like. I'm not fussing at pastors now. We've got to be careful what we do. We've got to watch out where we put God's money. But I just want to say to you, before you get there and live what I'm fixing to say, everything is not going to go like you want it to. And I've got news for you. Plans are usually made to be broken. Pastor Hall will be the one of the first ones to tell you. Who wouldn't of us with a heart and stand up and tell things didn't go like we thought they would, like we planned they would. Can I really say what I want to say? Like I told everybody God's leading me to do. Woo! Ain't we having a good time now? I'm trying to just warn you and tell you it's not going to everything fall in place like you think it is sitting here. I think that's one of the blessings of debutation. You learned that church, you thought, man, they'll really take us on. Don't ever take you on. You run up on another and think, well, boy, there ain't no need for me to meet here. I'm wasting my time. And they take you on double. But Paul! Y'all know who I'm talking about when I say Paul. Y'all know who I'm talking about when I say Paul. Now, I'm not going to discredit him. I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, he was a pretty good Christian. Fairly good preacher. You know, he'd be one of them that I would think maybe would know the will of God. I know some of you are not like Paul. You're like Simon Peter. Everybody else may do this, but you'll never do it. I don't have an axe to grind. I'm not mad at nobody. I just felt compelled of God to preach this truth. So Paul said, I'm going to Asia. Holy Ghost said, I'm going to Bithynia. No, you're not. Listen to this counsel from the old man. Paul finally did the best thing to do when you don't know what to do. He went to bed and went to sleep. You say, why is that so good? You don't make wrong moves when you're asleep. You may have bad dreams, but you don't make wrong moves when you're asleep. Now, my point is, and I believe the point of the Word of God is, you see, sometimes we're such a high-speed gear operator. If God don't give us directions, we work out our own. If God don't open the door, we got a tendency to put our number 12 against it. Kick it open. But there's sometimes God is going to shut a door and you can cry and pray and weep and do all you want to and it acts like the heavens brass and God don't answer. But when you learn to surrender your will to God's will, then it will work. It will work. Can I say this? I don't have any problem believing what I'm preaching. Brother Harden, I am convinced if God wants me to do it, God will open the door and God will provide. If God don't open the door, God don't provide, I just take it as not God's will. See, I'm old enough to remember a little bit of them old preachers. I remember them old preachers when I was a boy back home in my home church. I can still see them. That more than one said, it's common sense. They said, if God told me to run through that wall, my job's to run. God's job is to make a hole in the wall. If God don't make a hole in the wall, I knock my fool self out, get up and shake my head, and I'm not going to say God missed it. I'm going to say I missed it. I'm telling you, this is practical stuff, fellas, you can use when you get on the field. But finally, in that vision that night, God, through the dream, spoke to Paul, and he saw a man of Macedonia that said, "Help! Help!" And it was so real. When he woke up the next morning, he determined it was God calling him. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Blessed is the man that can accept God's closed doors. And blessed is the man who will be faithful to walk through God's open doors. Again, I emphasize, I'm not talking about some backwood, can I say ignorant fellow. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. Head on! I'm going to Asia. Well, I go to the beach! No, you're not. Can I just say this? I've got to add this, and I've got to give this last point quick, and I'm going to close. You and I better shout ourselves to sleep tonight. That Paul changed fields. I am convinced, Brother Hughes, I'm not a smart man, but I am convinced if God hadn't stopped him, he'd have kept that gospel over there in Asia. And the Asian descendants would have been Christianized nations, and the gospel would not have made it to Europe. And we'd be the heathen. I stand here tonight and you sit here tonight a fruit of one move that Paul was willing to accept God's closed door to go back to Asia and then go through God's open door into Europe and bring the gospel to us. I'm about ready to run now, Brother Joel. Amen. You see the personnel of missions. You see the program of missions. You see the problem of missions. You see the placing of missions. And this last one will be brief. From Acts chapter number 16, following through the next four chapters, we see the purpose of missions. Now, I want to preface what I'm fixing to say by this statement. I am aware of the fact that we have involved in, under the umbrella of missions, a lot of helps ministries. Everybody hear me? I am not saying I am against helps ministries. Everybody hear me? Amen. We've also incorporated in the name of missions such ministries as prison ministries where they cannot plant churches. I'm surely not against a prison ministry mission. Everybody understand that? Amen. But when I come to the Bible, in Acts 16, Paul went to Philippi. When he left Philippi, he didn't leave a bunch of ministries, a bunch of works, a bunch of programs. He left a church. He went from there down to Thessalonica and stayed there only less than a month. But when he left there, he left the seed that would come to fruition if it hadn't already begun. And what we know now is the church at Thessalonica. He left there and went down to a place called Berea. And though we don't have a lot of record in the Bible, at least that I know of, about that a church, but I think there's enough evidence. I don't doubt when somebody goes and preaches the word of God and they receive it and they search the scripture, see if it be so or not. Hey, you know what the next thing is? The same thing that happens to a pregnant woman. They're going to be a baby born. I don't doubt what there's a church at Berea. If you don't agree with that, show me wrong in the scripture. I'll accept the word of God. But he left the church. Chapter number 18, he goes to Corinth. He stays there a year and a half. A lot of problems. But when he left the church. Chapter 19, he goes to Ephesus. Stayed there longer than anywhere. Stayed there 3 years. Am I right? 3 years? 3 years and a half? But when he left the church. Now I will make this statement. If every one of you get upset at me, it's between you and God. This Bible and the God of this Bible deals in church planting missionaries. Again, I made myself clear. There are other helps ministries. I'm not knocking anybody on what you're doing at all. I know we need the Bibles. I know we need these. I'm not critical of that. But I'm simply saying for the missionary that's going to the foreign field to do a work for God, his heart and his whole ambition and his idea ought to be that God's going to save people and a church is going to be born. I'm going to train a pastor. I'm going to teach him and God's going to let me turn this thing over to him and keep the church going long after I'm gone, right after I've had to leave this land, and the testimony of God in that local indigenous church will continue for the glory of God long after missionaries are driven out from the field. Now, I make this statement and make the rest of you mad, then I'm going home. Going to the motel room. We've taken a lot of things. I am in a good spirit. But Brother Hall, I am amazed. I know you see a lot. And remember, I'm out there just basically every week of my life dealing in what I'm dealing with right now, not this particular message. But I am amazed at what some people can come up with and call it a missions work. Amen. And pastors will take them on and support them.
That's right.
Amen. I just believe we ought to be scriptural. Again, I'm not against helping works that are helps, but I'm talking about missions, business, the purpose of missions. Is reach the lost and establish New Testament churches. I say that, all of that, to all these missionaries, to all of us preachers, and to the church here at Island Ford. I know your pastor preaches it to you, but it doesn't hurt for me to reinforce what the man of God has taught through the years. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ladies, if you'll come to the music, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege to deliver this burden from my soul. Lord, if I've helped one missionary tonight, if I've helped one individual to understand something about scriptural missions, then, dear Lord, it's sure been worth it. I pray, dear Lord, that you help us to realize the basic, final authority for all that we're doing in the work of the Lord should be what the Scriptures teaches. Do what you wanted to do, what needs to be done now, and bless each of us. Oh, help us, Lord, to do that, and Lord, to produce a work that we can be proud of when we stand before you. It doesn't glorify us, but it glorifies you to the glory of Christ. Save the lost and bless your people, I pray. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.